Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We just come here this morning and just so thankful for you, your love for us, and for Christ's love for us, died upon the cross, Lord, buried and raised, Lord. We thank you for that. We celebrate this morning his resurrection. We focus specifically on his resurrection. Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you the eternal life that we have through him, Lord, and that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us, empowering us to live out through this life. We thank you for that. So, Lord, we just give you honor and praise of what you're doing, honor and praise what you're teaching us, and I pray you just anoint me, just the Spirit. I can just speak things to the Spirit, and each heart would be able to open to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you, God, for your goodness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to look here and start off this morning in Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 6. And if you want to just follow along with me, I'll read that. And it says this: Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And as we look at this, you think about it, that Jesus, that the women went to the tomb. Why did they go to the tomb? They knew he was dead. They knew he was dead. They witnessed his crucifixion. There was no way that you could survive that crucifixion. They knew he was dead. And so when they come there to prepare his body, and then these events, an angel comes before them, an angel, and the guards are there guarding the tomb, and you have this dynamic presentation of the angels there to speak, and they tell the ladies, he's not here. He's risen. Just imagine the thought and the shock of that. The resurrection is of paramount importance, and it's been of paramount importance from the very first day of Christianity, from the very beginning of Christianity. And even when the Apostle Paul speaks about salvation and speaks about the Christian faith some 25 years later, he considers that the resurrection was of utmost importance. He focuses, 25 years, the resurrection is everything. It's of utmost importance. And in fact, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says, I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So here we have the whole composite of what the Apostle Paul's teaching, and he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. So he had a lot to say, but he goes, no, of utmost importance is that Christ has risen. He is alive. He is risen. Now, we also need to recognize, too, and as we look at the importance of the resurrection, we look at Christ's disciples. Like, here are these ladies that ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ, witnessed his crucifixion, knew he was in the tomb. His followers, the 12, minus one, Judas, the 12, the others who believed on him, they saw all their hope, all their dreams, all that the Messiah had promised, all the things that he had done, and they looked at that and they were devastated because all of that died with Jesus. All of that died with Jesus. They weren't excited to go and share what Jesus had taught them. In fact, the Bible tells us that they locked themselves in a room and they were fearful. All their hopes had ended. Everything about spending all the time with the Messiah, everything that they've learned, everything that they believed on was gone. It's gone. He's dead. He's dead. The Christian faith is based on him not being dead. Him not being dead. And Jesus meant it that way. He meant it that all his teaching shouldn't be wrapped up solely in his teachings. That all his teaching were wrapped up in who Jesus Christ was and is. And so therefore, with all this falling apart around him, he appears to them. He appears to them. And so we want to look at that and just think about it, because this is what Jesus did to show the reality of who he was. He confirmed who he was, but he also showed the reality of who he was. We think all the miracles showed the reality of who he was. No, they were good. And it was showing, you know, a reference points of God. But it even says Satan can counterfeit certain miracles. It is his resurrection that ties everything together. And so he appears to his followers. His appearance, his resurrection is key. Now again, they know he is dead. They don't think maybe, they know he's dead. There's no question that he is dead. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:5 through 8. So Jesus appeared to Cephas. Okay, that's Peter's other name. All right, so that's Peter. Jesus appeared to Peter. Jesus appeared to the 12. That means the 12 disciples, okay, minus one, but the group was called the 12. So he appeared to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Now, I think that would have been kind of exciting. All right. I think one-on-one would be exciting. But 500 brothers and sisters, at one time, he appeared to them. They saw the risen Christ. They saw him alive. They saw him alive. Then he appeared to James. Now, this is James, Jesus' half-brother. Okay? This is the James he's talking about. Jesus' half-brother. The natural son of Joseph and Mary. So it was Jesus' half-brother. He appeared to James. You know, family members, it's kind of hard to get them on board sometimes, okay? So he appears to James. James wrote the book of James. It's his half-brother who wrote the book of James. So he appeared to James. Then he appeared to all the other apostles. Now here's a point. There were other apostles other than the 12. There were other apostles called Silas apostle, called Barnabas apostle. There are several people that were called apostles. He appeared to those other apostles, whoever they were, and they saw him. And then Paul says, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me. He appeared to me. Do you recall the account when he appeared to Paul? He appears to Paul and he goes, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He appeared to Paul. He appeared to Paul. And so you have this view here, the understanding here, that Christ has risen. Amen? He has risen. And these starting of early Christianity, the people that spread early Christianity saw the risen Christ. These were the people, and for the most part, went to their death. They were martyred. And they gave themselves, not for a lie, they gave themselves for the risen Christ. They put their whole focus and strength and passions into the risen Christ. They died for the risen Christ. They served in this world for the risen Christ. They saw him. They saw him. And so here we are. What are we representing? And we're celebrating the risen Christ. Why are we truly here? It's because of the risen Christ. The risen Christ. Hey, man, these are cool miracles, and you know, they've got a cool band, and this is a great program. No, we're here because of the risen Christ. That's why we're here. That's where our focus is. That's what motivates us, and that's what makes us go that extra step and live our life for Christ, because he's risen. He is alive. He is alive. He is not a philosophy. He is not a religion. All right? He is not a Bible study. He is the Christ. He is alive. He is alive. Amen? He is alive. Now, I'm going to read something to you here, and this is kind of fascinating. And when I read through it the first time and when I've read it before, it's kind of disturbing in a way. But we need to understand as we look at the resurrection of first importance and how the early apostles looked at the resurrection as a first importance, we need to understand what Paul, when he says it's of first importance, he means the rest of it's not that important, right? And what he says here, Paul continues in this section, and he basically says, without the resurrection of Christ, the Christian faith is of no importance whatsoever. Lightning didn't strike the pulpit. Without the resurrection, the Christian faith is of no importance whatsoever. The resurrection is key to the Christian faith. The Christian faith is here because of the resurrection. Now, here's the verses he uses. And he even says this. This is quite disturbing, too. He says that our preaching is worthless without the resurrection. I mean, I think this is really personal. Without the resurrection, it didn't make any difference. What I say is worthless. It is worthless. Look at the verse here, 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. It is nothing. It is nothing. I went to a church. I thought about this 3 or 4 times and kept telling myself I wasn't going to share it. But I'm going to share it anyway. And I went to a church. And I'll never forget. I thought I should go and just came to know the Lord. I wasn't church. Went to the church, and this is what happened. The guy stood up, and it's Easter, you know? I mean, I hadn't been to church, came to know the Lord, and I thought, it's Easter, well, you probably should go to church. And so Linda and I, we drove around, and we was looking for some place with a steeple, you know? I mean, I didn't know what a church was, but they figured they had steeples in every book I saw, so we found one at the steeple. We went in, and the guy, nicest guy, oh, it's just honey sweet. I mean, a nice guy. And he got it, and the first thing he said, oh, so good to see you here. And he says, you know, we want to celebrate the goodness of Jesus. And so I don't want anybody here to get hung up. This is Easter. I don't want anybody to get here, in here, get hung up on the resurrection. Don't get hung up on it. Because it's not that important. It's Jesus' life that's important, not his resurrection. Now, I didn't know anything. But I had read the Bible. And I thought, no, brother. No, that's not right. I don't know anything, but I think I know more than you. That bothered me. It really did bother me. And so we left. As we left out, Linda and I, said, oh, it's a pleasure. First time we've seen you. We'd like to come and visit you. Yeah, I go, no. I mean, I didn't want to hear any more from the resurrection. No, the resurrection is everything. His preaching was vain. It was worthless. I don't remember a thing he said except that. Because the rest of it is worthless. All right? So there's something. Our preaching is worthless without the resurrection. Also, you know, as it says here, but it also says that our faith is worthless. Oh, I just have faith in the goodness of Christ. I have faith in his good works. You know, I just have this faith. I'll try harder and I'll work harder. You know, I don't know if he's risen or not, but I just hold on. No, it's worthless. It's worthless. It's less than worthless, okay? Our faith is worthless. Because Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Waste of time. It's a waste of, I don't know if Jesus has been resurrected. It's a waste of time. But we are going to have an Easter egg hunt and some barbecue after a while. You can enjoy that. But this is a waste of time. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. Paul said, I'm just reading what he said about it. What he said. Then also, and something, you know, people that classify as Christians and don't believe in the resurrection, they are, it's worthless. It's a misuse of the name. Take Christ out of Christian. Call them tens. Well, they're not Christians, they're just tens. All right? Because this is what it says. The resurrection is everything. The resurrection is why we stand. The resurrection is why we do what we do when we trust in Him. And then he says this. Hold on. Okay? Hold on to your seats. All right? Without the resurrection, everyone, now this is who we call ourselves believers, okay? Without the resurrection, everyone on earth is better off than we are. You can hear a pin drop. Without the resurrection, every lost person in the world is better off than we are. It's not like, oh, we just believe this and we're trucking. No, we're worse off than anyone else in the world. Look, if you will, 1 Corinthians 15:19. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, I just be do good because he does good, so we're going to do good. We're going to feed the poor. We're going to do, we don't believe in the resurrection, but we're going to do good stuff. Do good stuff, right? If in Christ we have hope only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. We're to be of the whole world. We're just to be pitied. And it's like, oh my goodness. What's the issue? The resurrection. What makes a difference? The resurrection. What makes a difference? That we are resurrected. We are resurrected. But we are to be pitied above all. I mean, there's some nasty people here. Not here, in the world. We got good people here. In the world, you know, it's not, you're to be pitied more than all these other people. Well, what do we do then without Christ? What do we do with Christ? Without the resurrection, now some of this, I mean, this is going to sound familiar. Without the resurrection, we should extravagantly pursue all the things of the world. We should extravagantly pursue. You've heard it said, you know, you only have one life, go for all the gusto you can. That's what Jesus said. You don't believe it? Just go for it. Go for everything. Because this is all you got. Go for it. Go for all of it. If you don't believe in the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:32. If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. I mean, how often do you hear that in the world? They're dead on. They are dead on. They don't believe in anything. We're going to eat and drink. We're going to grab all the gusto we can. They're dead on. Jesus, that's what you might as well do because you have nothing else. Get all you can while you have the opportunity. Eat, drink, tomorrow. For tomorrow you die and you have nothing except for the eternal hell. He didn't add that in there, but we know from other places. See? Oh, my goodness. Can you believe this guy? And I mean it. This was in the church with a steeple. I don't remember what kind of church it was. But it had a steeple. It had a steeple and had a cross on it. All right? And the guy says, don't get hung up on the resurrection. It's not that important. How did it come out of his mouth? How did that happen? He held a Bible and he said that. You know? I think if I had a Bible and I said it, it would burn through my hand or something. I mean, it's like, how can that be? That's what he said. That's what he said. And I didn't know anything. I really didn't. But I read the Bible one time and I knew he was wrong. I knew he was wrong. Hadn't been to church. But I did read the Bible one time and I knew he was wrong. He was wrong. So the resurrection, praise Jesus, he is alive. See, so what do we know about all that? What do we all know? We know that's not true. We know this stuff. He has risen. That's not true. All that stuff is not true. He has risen. Jesus has risen. Because Paul also says this, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Aren't you glad he inserted that in that whole montage of curses? But we can say, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And all God's people said, oh, hallelujah. Whew. Praise Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. Now, him being alive tells us a lot of stuff. Okay, him being alive tells us a lot of stuff. Therefore, because Jesus has risen, he says our preaching is not in vain. I am so tickled. You know, because I said all week worked on this, and I got up at 5 this morning, and I prepared myself. It's not in vain. Why? Because he said, it's not in vain. Why? Because he's resurrected. That's why it's not in vain, because he's resurrected. So I may get up at 5 next Sunday. I mean, it's not in vain. Also, our faith is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. Our faith is powerful because Jesus has been resurrected. And the Bible says the same power that resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ lives in us. So our faith is powerful because of the resurrection. Amen? All right. This is exciting. And also, because of the resurrection, we have eternal life. Eternal life. It is not just here. It's eternal life. Why do we know that? Because Christ has been resurrected. He's not locked in the grave. He is with God in heaven, and his eternity is manifest through his resurrection. And we believe on that, and we know we'll be eternally with him. Amen? So this world is going to hell in a handbasket. We got a home in heaven. We got to go. And everything we do here is a blessing that God blesses us with for all eternity because Christ has risen. The women didn't find him in the tomb. Didn't find him in the tomb. The body wasn't there because he arose. He arose. And how many people he appeared to? Now, they watched him. Crucifixion, and I can go through the thing about Roman crucifixion and all that stuff. Look it up. It's nasty stuff. Nasty stuff. He died, but he arose. He arose. Now, therefore, we believe he arose. Amen? Then if he arose, we can believe his promises. See, that was this. You think about it. His disciples were going with him and asking questions. They put their total faith in him. Everything about who they were, they put in him. They left family and friends, everything, and he put their faith in him. And then he get dead. It's like, that's a mistake. All the promises, it was a mistake. All the things he said, it's a mistake. Then he appeared to them. He arose, and they go, no, it's true. Oh, no, you can believe the promises. No, no, you can't believe everything. You can. And they followed them to their death because they saw him. And everything he said was confirmed. So we can believe and trust in his promises. Like the things when he says this in John 14:2. Have overhead here. In John 14:2, it says this. In my house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? Amen. He went, But he prepared a place for us. So when we pass from this earth, we go into the room he's prepared for. We go in his presence because he prepared a place for us. Do you know what we read a few weeks other in the scriptures? It says when we're ready for him, excited about him, he will have us seated around the table and he waits on us. Bible said that. I didn't say it. He waits on us. He's prepared a room. We come. He's going to serve us at the table. He's going to wait on us. That's his promise. How do we believe that? We believe that because of the resurrection. He's waiting on us. See, I have this. My wife is a wonderful housekeeper, and she's a wonderful host. Wonderful host. And people will come and stay with us. And different missionaries have come and people come and visit us. And I tell you what she does. So it's, you know, I can brag on her a little bit. What she does, and she makes the bed. She changes the sheets. Just so she knows. She changes the sheets. I'm going, they wouldn't know. She goes, no, they change. I'm not a good host. All right, I'm not a good host. She says, no, she changes the sheets. So she changes the sheets, and she makes the bed, and she puts pillows on it, you know, which they're going to have to move to get in the bed, but she still puts pillows on it. And then she gets new towels, and whoever needs to come, and she lays them on the bed where they come in and see the new towels. She cleans and washes the bathroom, and then she buys them each a gift, which she puts on the bed when they come in. People love to come to our house. She prepared a room for them. She knew they were coming, so she prepared a room for them. Well, Jesus goes, I know you're coming. I prepared a room for you. I don't know if it'd be nice as Linda's room, but he prepared a room for her. No, it's probably better than her room anyway. But you see what I'm saying? That's what he said. And it's because of the resurrection. It's because of the resurrection. Then he goes on and says this. He wants us to be there. And see, I just got to be a little facetious, but it's facetious because it's the truth. They're coming to visit, and I'm thinking, good God, that's a lot of work for somebody coming over. You know, you got to clean this whole thing. You got to buy them stuff. You got to lay this out. Lord, it's not, no, she wants them to come there, you know. She wants them. And Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to be here. I want you to come to my home. That's what Jesus is saying. And in 14:3, he says that. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. Amen? It's a resurrection. Without the resurrection, the Christian faith is worthless. It's worthless. With the resurrection, it's everything. It's everything. And so when we see this, we understand that the early church, and let's go back to the early church, and the spread of Christianity is phenomenal. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't hurt anybody. They just shared the love of Christ. And the spread was phenomenal of what happened because these people were committed to it. They committed their heart and soul to it. And they would stand for it no matter what because of the resurrection, because they had a home in heaven, because they knew where they were going, and they believed it in the depths of their heart because they had seen Christ. Seen Christ. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. He saw Christ. He goes, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now when he says for me to live is Christ that I can serve Christ. So I'm alive so I can serve Christ. If I die, I gain. I get to go to Linda's room. It's like she's fixed this place. No, it's something better than what Linda fixed. It's gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is, I'm not worried about dying. Oh man, I got this place fixed up for me. And he says this, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. I'll just, you know, if I got to live in the flesh, I'll just keep preaching and helping folks out. That's fruitful. I'll do what I'm told. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two, dying and living. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, because that's far better. That's where I want to be. Oh, you may get killed. Oh, praise to that. That'd be cool. I'll be with Jesus. I will be Jesus. You can't hurt me. If you kill me, I'm just in a better place. There are Roman letters. They're literally Roman letters back from the second century. Copies of them, Roman letters, talking about Christians. One governor wrote to another governor in Roman Empire, and he said this: these Christians die well. What's that? You can't kill me. Fine. They die well, because they're not afraid. They're not afraid because they know where they're going. They have no question where they're going. See? Therefore, their whole life has changed, and where their vision is, they're going, you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. That's what it meant. So, as we look at this and we think about this, and it says, all the early Christians, are looking for a greater day, life eternal in the presence of Christ. Now, granted, there's a lot of Christians in that time and soon after that time that didn't see the risen Christ, but they were like the ones that Jesus spoke to Thomas about. You remember Thomas? He didn't believe either. He said, no. They came in and said, after the crucifixion, we saw the risen Christ. He said, get out of here. I don't know if he said that. That's what I said. Get out of here. Now, I said, then you don't survive a Roman crucifixion. I said, we've seen the risen Christ. He said, I won't believe until I stick my finger in the holes in his hand and the cut in his side. I won't believe. Jesus appears to Thomas, and he said, hey, Thomas, stick your finger in the hole of my hand and stick your finger in the slit in my side. And Thomas said, oh, Lord, my God. Thomas believed. And then Jesus said, you know, Thomas, you believe because you saw, but bless those who haven't seen and believe. And that's us. That's us. Because we haven't seen, but we believe in the resurrection. We have a faith greater than Thomas's. And so, the resurrection, he is risen. It is absolute joy. He is risen. We win because he is risen. We have nothing to fear because he is risen. He's going to take care of us because he is risen. He is risen. That's the message, that he has risen. Amen? Amen. Now, I love the way Paul ends this. Okay, in the 1 Corinthians 15 part where he's talking about the crucifixion, he ends the section with this word, therefore. Now, I like therefore. You know, like you talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And you go, therefore, based on what I talked about, therefore, this is what you do with everything I talked about. All right? So here's the therefore. He gives us a therefore. I told you all this, and I talked and talked and talked. I preached it. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Don't move. Don't, whatever comes, be steadfast. Don't anybody convince you, talk you out of something or say, no, you're steadfast. I don't care who it is, you're steadfast. No, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Immovable. We'll kill you, I don't care. Not going to hurt me. Immovable. Be steadfast, immovable, because of the crucifixion, because of the resurrection, and we have a resurrection waiting on us. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Because of the resurrection. Because, and again, it doesn't just say do stuff like everybody else does stuff. It's saying, do stuff for the Lord. Do stuff Jesus told you. Do stuff Jesus is directing you, because that is not in vain. And there is a reward because of the resurrection. And we have a home in heaven, and He's prepared a room for us. No fear with the early disciples. They understood. No fear with any Christian who understands it. No fear with any believer who understands it. And all of a sudden, our whole view of the world changes. It changes. And it changes because of the resurrection. Of the resurrection. Jesus is risen, and all that we do for Him is not in vain. Because of the resurrection, that Jesus is risen, we have an eternal home in heaven. By the way, I have news for you. And I mean, it's kind of a good evangelistic point. You're all going to die. You're really quiet in here. You're like, yeah, you are. I mean, you're not going to slip by this. You're going to die. But because of the resurrection, we have a home in heaven. It's just a passing through for us. It's not a finality. It's just a passing through. And so we have a home in heaven. And because of that, we will shout steadfastly and immovable. We will shout the good news. Good news. And here it is. Good news. Let's just summarize it. Good news. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He loved this world. He's trying. He's saving this world. He's coming to the. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. Should not perish, but have eternal life. And all God's people said, amen. The resurrection. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have hope because we believe in the resurrection. In the resurrection. And without the resurrection, it's worthless. Don't even try to pretend being a Christian. It's worthless. Go do something else. Go mow your lawn. Because it's worthless. It's worthless. You mow your lawn, your neighbors will be happy with you. Of course, it's eternally worthless. But you do whatever you want. But for the Lord, even mowing your lawn has glories in heaven because you're reflecting Christ. Does that make sense? That's what the Apostle Paul said. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, God. This is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Lord, that He gave His entire being for us. If we were the only person in the world, He would have died for us. He would have died for us, Lord. We are forgiven through Him. We are forgiven through Him. And we have all the promises of Jesus, and we know that they are true because He was raised from the dead. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. We thank You, God, that He died for us. We thank You that He is alive. We thank You, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.